Let's turn our attention now to the marketplace here on the Closing Market Report for this 12th day of December. We're joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Michael, I really want to start with the outside markets rather than what happened at the CME Group, though we should talk about wheat, I think. But let's begin with what's happening with the outside markets and the price of crude oil below $6 for the day. What'd you think?
Well, International Energy Agency came in with a lot lower demand projection, Todd, and it matches up with what OPEC had said earlier this week. And, you know, keep in mind, crude oil is looking a lot like corn did the first 9 months of 2014, in that as prices go lower, the projections for demand are going lower with it. So I think there's a big inefficiency brewing here in the energy markets. I did a webinar for clients and subscribers last night and recommended to start locking in diesel needs for springtime, because we are at a 1.5 times standard deviation in the crude oil. We are at the 200-month moving average, and this is the time period where we don't normally build production stocks all the way into March. And if the meteorologists are right about a cold winter, especially in the Northeast where the heating oil demand is so strong, and keeping in mind that the days of supply of crude oil here in the United States is not any bigger than it was a year ago, even though the market feels like it, I think you wrap all these things up, and I think it's time to start booking your spring diesel needs. And obviously there's going to be a lag here, I think, for farm diesel, where you're going to have to wait for the crude oil prices, because they're dropping so sharply, to transfer and transpire into and be seen in the diesel price for the on-farm. So that's the big thing I see in the energy markets, is we're falling and falling fast, and sure looks a lot like corn did about 5 months ago.
I want you to come back to the hook you used to begin with, which is the 1.5 times standard deviation. I know what a deviation is. I know what a standard deviation is, but standard deviation from what?
Going all the way back to the 1990s, the 1999-2000 and low. So we are, if you took a 1.5 times standard deviation from that low to the current prices, which would include that $150 spike roughly, we have now gone 1.5 times below what we should have based upon that price action.
All right, so the low you used, and this low is 1.5 times lower than that low was, based on where the midpoints are.
Based upon the midpoints, exactly.
That's not what I thought, but I understand it, so that makes some sense.
Way to bring that all the way around.
Yeah, so this helps trigger that idea that you want end users to lock in. And how much of the supply do you think they ought to lock in, and what's the downside yet in this marketplace?
Well, you know, the 2009 lows that we're chewing into, we got all the way down into the mid-30s,
right,
at the end of 2008, early 2009. That was, you know, complemented, obviously, with the financial crisis, but that's really where the charts are pointing at this point, if you want to take a worst-case scenario. I think my mindset would be that it's going to be very difficult with the gasoline and diesel demand. You're going to have a hard time getting the refined products that low, and I say that especially, again, because in the distillates, the production, the three-year average production pace is pretty much straight down from November into February, March. So we don't build stocks in production at this point. And like I said, if we have a super cold winter, like some people are projecting in the weather areas, I think you're going to have a very tough time building supplies from a standpoint of lower consumption. You'll have both higher consumption on the heating oil side and lower distillate production at the refiner level. So, you know, this is where it goes back to $4 corn in the cash market for new crop, $3 on-farm diesel, and maybe even lower than that at this stage. I've seen $2.90 being quoted this week. These are some numbers that can really work when it comes to budgeting and when it comes to work going to your bank for loaning money and, you know, farm credit or whoever. These numbers are starting to work really well. So it's kind of like the hogs and the cattle. We're seeing exactly what I feared would happen, that we would see the corn market shift and the feeder cattle shift. People were buying high-priced feeders. Now they're seeing a loss on both ends, or starting to accrue a loss on both ends. We can't let that happen in this early part of the marketing year for 15 corn.
All right, so when you look forward to 15 corn, you're saying, hey, wait a second, if fuel inputs are lower, and those are a fairly large input price, not one of the biggest, but they're one of the top four or five, if I remember correctly. This might be some place where producers can really take advantage of it. They need to start to push the pencil. Have you done so, and what are you telling your producers that they should do about corn and or soybean pricing for 2015?
Pretty much the same thing as we talked about at the Farm Assets Conference. I really think you're brewing a very strong market here, maybe robbing Peter to pay Paul in the demand front. We're not seeing any improvement in the USDA supply-demand numbers on a global level. We saw pretty much what we expected on a U.S. level as far as improving demand. But now with the dollar being the question mark, if the dollar would surge, I think you're still in that kind of a market like the late 1990s, where, again, in the late 1990s, you had a Goldilocks economy. You had U.S. growth going higher, inflation going lower, mainly because import prices were lower because of a strong dollar and because energy prices were sharply lower as well. But that all ended in an Asian financial crisis a couple years down the road. So my take is make hay while the sun's shining. Use these short-term market positive features and correlations with the 2010 crop year. Get locked in going into the January report, what you feel comfortable with, what you feel comfortable with reowning, and then look and see what happens after the January report. Because if it's like 2010, we broke pretty hard after the January report and really didn't bottom until we got to July. And then we made a V bottom, and actually the fall highs took out the spring high. So it's going to be a very difficult 2015. It shouldn't surprise us because we're going to have not any QE to rely upon for the first time in 7-8 years.
Let's put some pieces to the puzzle together. So OPEC opens the spigots, leaves supply coming at a strong pace. That starts the drop in the market for crude oil. China appears to be slowing down. That may spark lower demand for soybean usage in the United States, even maybe some lower demand for commodities across the board, including crude oil. Is this a problem in the future?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Japan is now struggling with deflation. France just acknowledged today that it's got, in terms of its core inflation numbers, it was down 0.2% in November. That doesn't mean much, but it's the first time that went negative in the since modern data began in France. And so you've got Japan leading China down, you've got Italy and France leading Europe down, and all that bodes, and then you throw on top of that what you first talked about was the crude oil price, and that's shooting the dollar higher. Then you've got the Russians and the Ukrainians now fighting domestic price inflation. That's short-term bullish for the corn and wheat because it means they're probably going to have to hold on to more of their domestic supplies and not export it. But what it really comes around to later down the road in the medium term, meaning the next 6, 9, 12 months, it's a deflationary market, and that's going to be very tough for the commodity demand. So, again, if the dollar would break above that major resistance, that trading range band that it's been holding for about 4 years now, if it break above that, it would look a lot like 1997, and I say sell early and defend later.
Short-term bullish. Okay, that brings you, you mentioned wheat, brings me to Russia, Ukraine, the Black Sea. Tell me what happened there today.
This is the biggie. I mean, this is where everything's tied together. If you take a soft red wheat chart and plug on top of it a dollar ruble chart, they look almost identical, and it makes sense now because we've seen the ruble drop 40% since July. Why? Because of crude oil and the dollar. But we've also seen their wheat prices increase 40% since July, Todd. So essentially, they don't have any bargaining power or selling power from a lower currency. And bread prices, Reuters or Bloomberg reported earlier this week that some people in the retail sector are saying bread prices have gone up about 10% in the last month. And so Russia, Ukraine could be a situation where they have a supply that is held back because just like 2010, and here we go again with the 2010 correlation, just like 2010 may not want to export anything in the wintertime, but then they may have a surplus all of a sudden when it comes to the spring, summer. So this is, again, where you're messing with economic fundamentals, and you've got the funds now on the long side of the curve, and that's something you also have to watch.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much. I really enjoy putting the pieces of the puzzle together with you.
You ask the best questions, Todd. You keep me hopping. Good luck on the fund drive.
Hey, thank you so much. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. And in fact, he is correct. We're in the middle of a fund drive. And one of the pieces to the puzzle here at Illinois Public Media is you. We're hoping to raise $36,000 in 36 hours. Well on our way, but you can help right now today. And more importantly, if you call in at 217-244-9455, or if you go online to willag.org and hit contribute up at the top, either way, make sure that you tell them or click on one of the two in support of agriculture. It makes a difference. I'm telling you it does. It really makes a difference. We'd like you to give maybe at the $120 level, but frankly, whatever level is fantastic. And we just think that the service is important, and we hope you do too.